Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Another day, another dollar. Welcome to this Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am the man behind the mic, your host, Al Martin, coming to you live here in Studio West. We've got an incredibly entertaining hour to close out your work week with. And as always, really appreciate you allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. So, what are we covering today? Well, I'll be glad to tell you. The NFL preseason, of course, week two, folks. I spent some time last night on my couch watching some NFL preseason action. I must be honest, it was probably the only time so far in the young NFL preseason year that I've been sitting down and really glued to my television, kind of just dissecting a few things from what I see around the NFL. And again, it's preseason football in the National Football League. So again, as I'm watching, I'm taking it with an incredibly huge truckload of salt while watching it. But I will say this. I got a chance to see Sam Darnold last night for the New York Jets. I was impressed. I got a few points I want to make when it comes to this whole Teddy Bridgewater or Sam Darnold discussion. I like what I've seen so far from Sam Darnold and now two NFL preseason games for the New York Jets as they took on the Washington Redskins. But again, there's a flip side to this whole NFL preseason thing, right? I hate NFL preseason football. I don't know why we have to have preseason games, adopt the college model. You don't see any college football teams having preseason games, right? I love how they just get right to business. All right. And one of the big reasons why I hate the NFL preseason is because of injuries. And last night we saw again, the defending Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Foles getting hurt. A really nasty hit that he took. It was not a re-injured elbow for former Michigan State quarterback Nick Foles, but it was a shoulder injury, a really nasty shoulder injury. And this is a squad that, of course, is still waiting on Carson Wentz, the young phenom that he is, to return from that torn ACL injury back in December. Yeah, how about Darius Geis? You know, his rookie campaign over before it even got started because of good old NFL preseason football. So we'll talk some NFL preseason football. And hey, Honolulu Blue fans out there, your Detroit Lions will get it on tonight against the New York Giants. We'll preview that game. And our guest for today's Current Sports, again, he joins us each and every Friday for the swap meet with James Moore, former MSU football great and founder of the Speaking with a Purpose philanthropic campaign. Swap meet with James Moore is going to tackle player safety from his point of view. And also, we'll talk some preseason NFL football with him as well and how it's always important to have a plan B. Always important to have a plan B. Of course, when you see these NFL rosters go from like 90-plus down to 53, that's a lot of cuts, right? A lot of dreams being shattered or postponed for the moment. So you always got to have a plan B. So we'll talk with James Moore about that and so much more. And, of course, we will reflect on the week that has been here on Current Sports with some of our favorite interviews, guests, and maybe a few stories that we have not gotten the chance to tackle just yet with Reflection Friday. So a lot to get to, as you see, and you can be a part of the fun, as we always allow you to do each and every weekday here on WKAR's Current Sports. Just pick up that phone, and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and watch the live stream there. You can comment below that video, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start with Michigan State volleyball. MSU volleyball begins its season this Saturday, tomorrow, with a traditional green and white exhibition match set for 4 p.m. inside of Jennison Fieldhouse. There is no admission charge, totally free. F-R-E-E, my favorite word in the English dictionary, right? Also, after the match, the players will sign autographs on posters, which will be available without charge as well. MSU last season, a 24-9 record. Very impressive what head coach Kathy George has been doing with this program in the last few years. 24-9 last year begins the new campaign, ranked number 22 in the country, and regular season begins play at a tournament in Tennessee come next week. Now, Michigan State has just 3 seniors on its team, so relatively young. But again, it's Kathy George. I'm excited to see what the new year brings about for MSU volleyball. All right, this marks the 16th straight year that Michigan State University has played in the Shindigs National Soccer Festival, as the Michigan State Spartans are one of the original members of the event that started back in 2002. The men's soccer team is facing Xavier University tonight as they play their 3rd preseason game. The Spartans are 1-0-1 in preseason action with a 2-0 win over Spring Arbor on August 10th, and a 1-1 overtime tie against number 14 Western Michigan back on August 13th, just a few days ago. Now, senior forward and the local kid, local prodigy, DeJuan Jones, has scored in both games. Earlier this week, Michigan State was voted to finish 2nd in the preseason Big Ten coaches poll. Jones, senior forward Ryan Sierakowski, and senior goalkeeper Jimmy Haig were named to the Big Ten preseason honors list. So, looking forward to some Michigan State men's soccer action there. Also, I would be remiss if I did not note that the women's team will be also in action tonight against Southern Utah at 7 p.m. So, how about that? Men's soccer versus Xavier on the road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. 6 p.m. kick time for that. And tonight, you can check the women's soccer team against Southern Utah at 7 p.m. here in East Lansing. All right, the Michigan State women's field hockey team begins their season tomorrow afternoon when they face the Bullies, a.k.a. the University of Michigan, tomorrow. Shout out to Ray from Indiana. At 1 p.m. at home, last season, the Spartans finished 8-11 overall and were ranked number 40 in the final NC2A field hockey RPI rankings. 2018 marks the 4th consecutive year that the Spartans have opened their season with an exhibition match against rival U of M, and its 10th time the sides have met in the preseason since 07. All right, the whole Ohio State drama out in Columbus, Ohio. When Ohio State said that its investigation into Urban Meyer would be over in 14 days, it did raise a lot of eyebrows, including myself. Now, yesterday, Ohio State President Michael Drake helped quell some of the public concern in his first public statement since the investigation began. Quote, "I'm pleased to, in consultation with the board, bring in a really outstanding team. There's a great deal of interest in this investigation, so we wanted to make sure we had really good information. And there's time pressure. We wanted to make sure we had that information as quickly as possible, about 2 weeks. That's the projected goal. The investigation is underway as we speak. It will be finished when it's finished. So I think that you have Ohio State kind of backtracking a bit, basically saying that, yeah, we said 14 days, but at the end of the day, as President Michael Drake just stated, quote, it will be finished when it's finished. You can't really put a timetable on something this serious, right? So there you have that news out of Columbus, Ohio. All right, the 2018-19 University of Michigan men's basketball squad will participate in a foreign tour of Spain. How cool is this? Ranging from today till August 26th, with stops in Madrid and Barcelona. Now, while on the trip, the Wolverines are scheduled to play 3 exhibition games funded by private supporters through the U of M Athletic Development Department. The foreign tour is the third for the Maize and Blue under head coach John Beilein, following trips to Belgium back in 2010 and Italy in 2014. Now, the NCAA allows programs to take a foreign tour every 4 years, and teams are granted 10 extra practices in the summer to prepare. And as we told of the news of John Beilein a few weeks ago, John Beilein did have heart surgery in the offseason. He's still recovering, so he is not making this trip to Spain. And assistant coach Saadi Washington now fills in as the interim head coach while on this trip in Spain. All right. The Detroit Pistons will open camp on the campus of the University of Michigan. That first week of camp will include workouts at the Chrysler Center at U of M, basketball's player development center. The team will also play in Ann Arbor and stay there in Ann Arbor. In recent years, the team has opened camp at their practice facility in Auburn Hills, where the team will be stationed after the camp's first week and throughout the season. Ground has broke on a new facility in Detroit's new center area, and that is scheduled to open in September of 2019. All right, after a rough visit to the Black Hole out in Oakland, the Detroit Lions return home tonight as they face off against the New York Giants at 7 p.m. at Ford Field. Among those early selections was wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., who was taken with the 12th overall pick, if you remember, by the New York Giants back in the day. However, the 25-year-old thought he was going to be taken by the Detroit Lions with the 10th overall spot before they decided to go with tight end Eric Ebron, who again is no longer with the Lions organization. Quote, going into the draft is a crazy process. I had no idea I was going to be where I am today. I thought that Tampa was a possibility. I thought Buffalo was a possibility. Then they traded up and got Sammy Watkins. Tampa took Mike Evans, I think, who is right before Detroit with the 9th pick. I can't remember. But bottom line, Odell Beckham Jr. thought he was going to Detroit. He went on to say, quote, 10th, I thought, all right, I'm going to Detroit. It didn't happen. Then fell 12th to the Giants. I think it worked out perfectly, but I do remember that. How about that? Again, Odell Beckham Jr. Talking with Justin Rogers of the Detroit News on how he thought he was going to be a member of the Detroit Lions organization. That would have been really cool to have Odell Beckham Jr., one of the best wide receivers in the game, a part of the Detroit Lions organization. But in fairness for the Lions, they didn't really need a need. They didn't have a need for the wide receiver position at the time. They needed help in tight end, and they thought that Eric Ebron from North Carolina was going to be that guy, and of course he wasn't. All right, so again, Lions, Giants, you can catch that on Fox, 7 p.m. start time. We'll have a few things to look for in that game in just a moment. All right, this story, gotta be real with you guys, disappointed me. I am disappointed in John Elway. This is what Denver Broncos general manager and former quarterback great for the Denver Broncos, John Elway, said yesterday in regards to Colin Kaepernick possibly being a member of the Broncos organization. Quote, Colin had his chance to be here. We offered him a contract. He didn't take it. End quote. However, when you do a little digging into Elway's claim, things get a bit strange. The offer that Elway is referring to stems from a scrapped trade between the San Francisco 49ers and the Broncos during the 2016 season before Colin Kaepernick began his protest. That is very, very important. All right. In the set deal, Cap would have to completely rework the last 4 years of his then record-breaking $126 million deal down to a two-year deal, which the QB would have to take a $12.4 million pay cut, less money and guaranteed money as well, something like a 42% pay cut when it comes to guaranteed money, contractual-wise. Now, the deal broke down when all sides could not reach an agreement on compensation, but if you listen to Elway and what he had to say, Elway made it seem like, yeah, we offered Colin, he turned us down, though, back in 2016, and he puts it in the context of, yeah, that this happened during the whole national anthem protest fiasco, which is not the case. So I'm incredibly disappointed in John Elway, a man who I definitely look up to. A lot of people don't know this, but John Elway's jersey was the very first jersey that I had when I became a fan of football back when I was like 7 or 8 years old. So, John Elway, come on, dude. You're better than that. You're better than that, brother. The Detroit Tigers, the losses just keep on coming as they fall to their division rivals, the Minnesota Twins, in a slugfest, 15-8. Not a lot of defense being played yesterday. Francisco Laureano allowed 8 runs in 2 innings. The bullpen, beginning with Zach McAllister, allowed 7 runs in the 6th inning, and the Detroit Tigers again fall 15-8 to the Twins at Target Field. They did give a tribute to Aretha Franklin in a very cool way yesterday at Comerica Park. As Aretha, you could see her face on the scoreboard. And also, Aretha Franklin's songs were played throughout the Detroit Tigers game, and names of some of Franklin's songs were featured in the game notes. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, call in to be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's keep it pushing. Again, happy Friday, ladies and gents, boys and girls, and those of us who are regular listeners and viewers of WKAR's Current Sports Online. I want to give a big shout out to you all for being patient with me, because I don't know what was going on with my internet service here, but I'm just now getting the Facebook live stream up, all right, at facebook.com/WKAR news. I got like, I kid you not, I was trying to keep it together during our quick hit headliners, as many of you were like hopping in my DM saying, ow, what's up with the live stream? Where's the live stream? The world is ending. The live stream is up and running now. All right. So, again, check it out at facebook.com/WKAR news. It always amazes me how many of you tune in via the Facebook page. It just really speaks to how media is growing and changing, and how we consume news on the daily is growing and changing. You know, we talked about the Comcast story earlier this week, and those who are fans of the Big Ten Network, if you do have Comcast, it does not look like Comcast and the Big Ten Network are going to come to an agreement on before August 31st, when the 10-year contract that the two had was, you know, supposedly going to be renewed, and now it's not. Looks like it's not going to be renewed. And yeah, if you have Comcast, you're not going to be watching Big Ten Network. But, you know, I cut the cord not too long ago, and it's like I've seen the light. I've seen the light now. You know, streaming is awesome. And it's awesome mainly because it's cheaper. Much cheaper. My wallet is smiling right now since I've gotten rid of cable. So, yeah, 2018, folks. Get hip. Get with it. And I tell you what, now that I'm streaming, I do have access to the Big Ten Network, and I'm paying significantly less. All right? I'm just saying. Check it out. Check it out, folks. All right. A lot to get to. You know, as I mentioned, James Moore is going to join us, as he usually does, each and every Friday here on WKAR's Current Sports. We'll have the swap meet with James Moore. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming high school football season and also why it's so important for a lot of athletes out there to have a plan B. Simple as that. Now, we all can't go to the NFL, go to the you know, NBA, MLB, you know, pick your sport, right? You know, heck, I had the dream of going to the NBA, and that dream shattered for me, sadly. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry here on the air. All right. That dream shattered for me back in high school, but I had a plan B. All right. And that plan B was this. I'm blessed to be doing this and on the air talking to you all, a way where I can still stay close to sports, which I have an undeniable passion for. But it's so important to have a plan B, no matter what that plan B is, because, again, you see these rosters in the NFL preseason. They go from 90 plus players down to 53. I don't want to stomp on anybody's dreams out there, but you know, my grandmother, my grandfather used to always tell me to make sure I have a backup plan. And James is going to touch on that in just a moment. So you don't want to miss that. And again, we'll have Reflection Friday for you. But I want to start by discussing some NFL preseason football, which I got the chance to do last night on my couch before. And I think it's because I'm maybe just getting old now. I fell asleep, folks. And I'm a night owl. Usually I'm a night owl. But this week, I've just been falling asleep so early this week. I went to bed at like 9:30 last night. So I got a chance to check out before I got on my old man swag. I got a chance to check out the New York Giants and the New York Jets. You'll see the Giants tonight against the Lions. The New York Jets taking on the Washington Redskins in NFL preseason action. Now, again, I'm not a big fan of NFL preseason because, again, you see the starters for like, what, a quarter? You know, if you're lucky, a half. And then after that, you have these backups in. You have all these names that you'll probably never see throughout the rest of the NFL season. You know, when the regular season really gets up and churning. A lot of no-names just trying to make that 53-man roster and impress the coaching staff and the upper execs for that squad. And I don't know why we have to have preseason games. I think, I have no problem with just, I think many fans agree, you just get right to the action, you know, adopt the college football model. NFL preseason games are not needed for you to fully evaluate a player. Okay. And then it's football. Injuries happen. You know, I mean, Nick Foles, I mean, I can just only imagine what Philadelphia Eagles fans are going through today after seeing Nick Foles. You're already reeling because of Carson Wentz, who had the torn ACL back in December. And then Nick Foles, who led you to the promised land, gave you a Super Bowl. He goes down in a meaningless NFL preseason game last night. Shoulder injury. It looked ugly. Who knows how long he's going to be out? So who do you turn to now? I mean, preseason football irks me sometimes. But a few takeaways from what I saw last night. First off, addressing the game that I did see, Sam Darnold. We have Alec Rio and Connor Mathis behind the glass. I don't know if you guys saw this game last night on ESPN, but again, it's preseason. I get it. But this is now back-to-back weeks where I've been very, very impressed with what Sam Darnold has been able to do getting the first-team reps. He looked, we briefly talked about his strong debut against second and third string defensive players last week. Looking at what he did yesterday, I mean, I saw him evade a free rusher on his first series, which was like on second down, stepped up to avoid the sack, tossed the ball away using smarts. I saw him, you know, hit players in stride, checking other receivers, checking his first option, going through his first option. If that's not there, you know, looking to his second option. If that's not there, going to his third option. I mean, I saw him look like a vet. You know, throughout multiple plays yesterday, I was very impressed with what I saw from Sam Darnold. And now the big question comes, do you start Sam Darnold, your first round lottery pick of the NFL, or do you start Mr. Teddy Bridgewater? And it's kind of the same dilemma that we're seeing. And for those who have been watching Hard Knocks, the Cleveland Browns, right? The whole situation with Tyrod Taylor. A lot of people used to call Tyrod Taylor back in the day. I used to be one of those guys, but Tyrod has corrected us all. It's actually Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, the guy. The guy out in Cleveland now. We all know that regardless of what happens in week one with Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield is going to be given the keys to the car. And I have this, again, this is my opinion. I feel the same way when it comes to Sam Darnold. I don't know. Teddy Bridgewater may be your week one starter. But what I don't understand, when you draft that high as a dismal NFL franchise, knowing you need help at the quarterback position, no knock when it comes to Tyrod Taylor, no knock when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater, but when an organization drafts that high, a quarterback that high, you just don't want that quarterback to sit on the bench and collect dust. You are drafting a quarterback that high because you know that eventually that is going to be the guy to be your leader behind center. That is going to be your franchise quarterback. You are going all in on that man as the quarterback of your franchise's future. So I always counter, you know, with those who say, well, you know, again, it's a rookie. You know, that rookie has to, you know, you're going to have growing pains with that rookie. You know, that rookie isn't ready to start right off the bat. Why not ease him into the flow? I counter to that argument and say, if you know that this is going to be your franchise quarterback, why not go through those growing pains early? Get that quarterback experience right now. Give him the keys to the car and let him learn. Because, heck, who knows? Tyrod Taylor and Teddy Bridgewater, who knows? I'm thinking very positive here when it comes to the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. Who knows? Let's just say, you know, Teddy Bridgewater and Taylor lead their teams to, you know, 8-9 wins. Maybe they get a wild card spot in the playoffs. Everybody's happy, right? If you're a Jets or Browns fan, you will be happy just to make the playoffs. You know, guys like Hugh Jackson, you keep your job. The fans are pleased. You're trending upward, right? But again, you're still stuck with the dilemma, knowing that you have a quarterback you drafted that high, knowing that you have a quarterback that you want to be the face and the guy behind center, just sitting there with not a lot of reps. Go through those growing pains right now. Go through it early, because both what I've seen from both Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold is a lot of potential. A lot of potential. So what would you guys do? That's a question I want to pose to our listeners out there. Also to Connor and Alec behind the glass. Who would be your week one starter in a situation like a Sam Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater and Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield? Who are you starting and why come week one of the NFL season? Alec?
So I would have Teddy Bridgewater start week one because he is the more defined quarterback. He's played a couple games. He's had experience in NFL games, and it's something for the younger quarterback to look upon. See, what I like to think about is how Aaron Rodgers, he had so much time to look under Brett Favre, but like I understand in this situation, Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield don't have that, you know, like a veteran QB to look up to. But I definitely think like if Teddy Bridgewater and Tyrod Taylor were to start both of those, like I'd say like two or three of the games, then I definitely think that Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield will have something to look at. Mm-hmm. And I understand like they need to go through the growing pains early, and like they need to like get their reps in, you know, early as possible. And so I see that they could work this out by starting them 2 or 3 weeks. If it doesn't work out, then put your youngins in. I don't see a problem with that, to be honest.
Well, I have the philosophy of if you know you're going to eventually make, you know, Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield the guy, go through it early. Go through it right now. Why wait? You have nothing to lose if you're the Cleveland Browns. You have nothing to lose if you are the New York Giants right now. Go through it right now. It'll save you the hassle later on down the line. Connor?
I think it's two different situations. For the Browns, I think they're going to go Tyrod week one because I think Tyrod, you mentioned growing pains. For Hugh Jackson, he needs to get a couple of wins together to keep his job. If he puts in Baker Mayfield, and heck, even if Baker is like showing promise and developing, but they're not winning games, Hugh's not going to be there. I think in the case of starting Taylor is he can get you a couple games. He has that NFL experience. He can get you a couple games against the more experienced teams, and that can keep Hugh Jackson's job a little bit more safe. And then if need be, after getting a couple wins, you know, maybe things aren't going well, then you can put in Baker, and then you can at least have something to fall back on, saying, well, look, I got a couple wins with this, and then now I'm developing the quarterback, so you need to keep me around. In the Jets case, I don't get the coronation of Darnold just yet. The first preseason game was good, yes, but watching last night and watching highlights again, I saw a quarterback that looked very much like a rookie. Like yesterday did not impress me. The first week, the week one preseason, it was all right. Yesterday,
what did you see? That other than the blatant interception, that was a total rookie mistake there. Those are the growing pains that you're going to go through as a rookie quarterback. But especially the play where he evades the free rusher both hands on the football. We all know he had like 20 plus interceptions last year back at USC. That was a problem for him. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that he was just so careless whenever there was a free rusher running right at him. But his ability to evade the defender, all right, I'm not going to try and make a play here, a hero play here. Let me throw it out of bounds. And then, again, multiple times they showed on the ESPN broadcast Sam Darnold going through his reads and standing tall in the pocket. Those are things that rookie quarterbacks historically struggle with. I don't know. We were watching two different things last night.
Yeah. I mean, it's just some of the throws that I didn't like. Last night especially, I didn't get like a very much like an Andrew Luck kind of guy you need to have in immediately. Like for me, I think Darnold would very much be the one case where it'd be okay to have him sit for a couple games, because I've honestly been more impressed with Teddy Bridgewater. Like his two preseason games, coming off of a knee injury, I mean, he's really impressed me more than Darnold has. And I think for Todd Bowles, it makes more sense to go with Bridgewater, especially since you know, if you have this really good veteran and you kind of put him on the back burner for a young guy, and the young guy kind of struggles, I think you could run into trouble of the veteran player saying, well, wait a minute, this our guy right here is doing just fine. We don't need to rush this rookie in here to be making mistakes if we're ultimately going to go, you know, 5-11, you know, all that other good stuff. So I think just Bridgewater, and comparing Darnold to Bridgewater, I think Bridgewater's had a better preseason overall. I think he's a safer bet. And I mean, again, if it doesn't work out, you'll have he's also in New York too. I mean, if it doesn't work out with Bridgewater, you're gonna have the fans clamoring for Darnold anyways, and I think that's what's gonna
eventually. This is what I always say: if you're approaching the NFL draft, this is your number one overall pick. You don't invest all of that in your number one pick for this guy to sit on the dang bench. So why are you wasting time? Sam Darnold was the third overall pick for the New York Giants. New York Jets. I keep saying Giants. I got the Lions on my mind. New York Jets. You don't invest. You know, that high of a pick into a quarterback for that quarterback to sit there and just grow roots. Simple as that. So, thoughts from the public, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know what? Before we hit our first break, I know that this brother called yesterday and we could not get him on. Jason is on line one. Jason, what's on your mind, my man? Are you ready for some Lions football tonight?
Yeah, I am going to check out the game, but really, I'm ready for what's happening here in 2 weeks.
What is that?
I have my Folds of Honor Patriots shootout up at Treetops again.
And for those that don't know what that is, Jason, what is the Folds of Honor Patriots shootout?
Well, what it is, it's a PGA Tour-style event for veterans to get into up at the Treetops Resort to raise money for the Folds of Honor Foundation, which provides $5,000 educational scholarships to the children and spouses of those we've lost or those that have been severely wounded in combat.
Awesome. And you know what I thought of you? Last weekend, I was watching the PGA Championship and watch my man Tiger Woods.
You saw my good buddy Gary Woodland out there with Tiger wearing the Puma Volition gear, which benefits the Folds of Honor.
Exactly. That's why, you already know where I was going. Look at that. You're reading my mind here because, I watched the entire final round of Tiger and Gary Woodland together. It's so thrilling to watch Tiger Woods put on that display of golf that he did.
It looked great.
Exactly. And what was cool, though, because I watched, CBS, I'm told, only showed, on the actual broadcast, the first hole of Gary Woodland's and the last hole from Gary Woodland. They didn't show any other stroke from Gary Woodland. But I watched the stream online where I followed them throughout the entire round of 18. Yep. And, I didn't notice the Folds of Honor cap that Gary Woodland had. So that's awesome stuff. That is all. How can anybody out there listening get involved with that, Jason?
Okay, well, one way to get involved, I did send you my link yesterday to your messenger.
Awesome.
For my fundraising effort for this year's shootout, okay? But another way they can get in if they want to, they can go to foldsofhonor.org and they can become what is called a wingman or wingwoman with the Folds of Honor. It's just, for $13 a month, you can have it billed to your credit card and whatnot, but $13 a month, you become a wingman, and all that money that you put in there goes to support the $5,000 educational scholarships. And to date now, as of last month, as I was talking to Major Dan Rooney, the founder, and also Major Ed Polita, the vice president of marketing for the Folds, we have had now over 21,000 scholarships awarded since the inception in 2007.
That's amazing, Jason. You all should be proud of that number that is continuing to rise by the year, right?
It is. It is. And another way anybody wants to support the Folds of Honor, go into your local store that sells beer and look for the Budweiser Freedom Reserve. All proceeds, a dollar from each case sold, goes back to the Folds of Honor Foundation. But the biggest thing about this Freedom Reserve, it's actually a recipe from George Washington's 1787 ledger that was brewed by veterans at Budweiser for the families of the Folds of Honor scholarship recipients.
Awesome stuff. So just like that, I mean, they can go to their local store and pick up a brew and help out the Folds
of
Honor. That's great stuff, Jason. Well, I tell you what, man, as the date comes near, we would love to have you back on to talk more about it. Until then, get some practice in and shoot low. All right?
All right, we'll do, brother. We'll do. Have a great one. Be
all
easy.
All right, my man Jason. He's fantastic. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll have the swap meet with James Moore, and we'll also give you a few things to look for tonight as the Detroit Lions play host to the New York Giants in NFL preseason action. Again, call in to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports on this Friday, August 17th, 2018. Really hope you guys had a great week and are continuing to have a great week. Again, happy Friday. And those who are tuned in to Facebook.com/WKAR News via our live stream, see not only my face now, but the face of James Moore, Michigan State fullback great and founder of Speaking With a Purpose, the SWAP campaign, and we invite James here on WKAR's Current Sports each and every Friday to speak positivity, to speak on, the hot button sports topics of the week. And we've got a twofold SWAP meet, two topics I really want to dive into today. So first off, how you doing, James? Happy Friday, man.
Hey, man, fantastic. Hey, happy Friday to you, too. Man, I'm doing well. Just glad to be back. Getting the swap meet started and rolling again.
You got it, man.
With you, as usual.
You are one busy man. because I know, you know, of course, everybody's going crazy about the NFL in the college football season starting in just a few weeks. I mean, we're just 2 weeks away from college football, just 3 weeks away from the NFL. I can't wait for it, James.
You know I'm itching.
I know you're itching, right?
I'm itching at the bit, baby. You already know.
I know. But you know what? You know, hey, high school football is almost here as well.
Oh.
And you work hand in hand with Rob Zimmerman of the DeWitt Panthers. DeWitt High School is year after year after year. I mean, I've been covering, you know, high school sports here in the area since I was an intern dating back to Channel 6 News. And that was, my goodness, I want to say about 2010, you know. So I've been doing it for about 8 years, going on 9 years now. Yeah. And there is nothing like Mid-Michigan sports. What really excites you? Because to put that in perspective, I mean, every year I've been here, James, DeWitt High School football has been one of the best programs in this area. I can't remember a down year for DeWitt High School football. So what's that? What are you excited about? You know, what do you get most excited about the high school year? And what's it like being with Coach Zim and DeWitt?
Man, I have to say it's phenomenal working with Zim and the coaching staff. Coach Zim has set up a great foundation with the program. I mean, it just gets me going. You know, I'm a football player, baby. It's football season. It's fall. My palms start sweating. And it's just a blessing and an honor for me to be able to work with Zim and for Zim and work with the coaching staff that he has surrounded and the kids that he has grown, you know, because they've been playing together since they were in fourth, fifth grade, sixth grade.
It's a whole system into it.
It's a whole system. It's a feeder system.
Right, exactly.
That he has going on, and it's just phenomenal. You know, I'm just excited, and I can't be there as much as I would like to, but Zim still allows me to be part of the program.
Right.
And I bring what I can bring to the table to work with all of the kids because they know where I played at, and they really respect Coach Moore. And it's just exciting. And I'm, like I said, I'm just chopping at the bit, ready to go. We had a scrimmage in East Grand Rapids. We look good.
You look good. I know.
We look good.
And you talk about that feeder system. You know, it's so amazing when you compare what's going on out in DeWitt and the participation and the steady participation that happens out there in the world of youth football. And you compare it to, say, the Lansing area, right? And we're seeing those numbers kind of decline a bit.
The high school numbers decline.
Right, high school numbers are declining. I mean, so how has Coach Zim been able to keep that thing going and keeping the interest of high school football up? Because I know a few schools here in the Lansing area that are struggling participation-wise when trying to get kids out.
Well, he set up a program that everybody's buying into, and that's what it's all about. He started at the lower levels. He has set that up where the lower level parents and kids are buying into it. And they're being successful. And it's being successful. So that's what's sustaining.
What's that secret sauce, though? I mean, how do you get a kid to stay interested that long? Is it the way you coach them?
It's the coaching style. It's the coaching style because nowadays coaching is different. You can't coach all kids the same way. I mean, you're going to have, you know, 10% of them that you can light into them and just, you know, up and down them. And mm-hmm. then they go out and respond.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the other 10% or 5% that when you do that, they shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They shut down and they're in a bubble and they're done.
Right.
So you have to learn the style, coaching methods, coaching styles, how I coach this kid, how I coach that kid.
That comes with knowing the player.
That learns what comes mm-hmm. with knowing the player, knowing the kids. It's just like teaching, though.
So I want to ask you, how would you describe the coaching style of James Moore? Is it in your face? What are you doing?
It depends.
Or is it laid back?
It depends on the kid.
It depends on the kid. So it is that
kid.
Philosophy.
It depends on the kid.
You have no problem lighting up a kid, though.
I don't have. I mean, you know, I don't light them up like I used to get lit up because I used to get lit up and it was bad.
Right.
Nick Saban, George Perlis. Yeah. Okay. Coach Myers, Coach Raff.
Right.
Let me get one more. Coach Swiss from Otto when my first start. You know what I'm saying? Coach Christie,
right.
I mean, Coach Christie was real cool. That was my little league football coach. But anyway,
gotcha.
My style, I mean, I get into them a little bit, but I do it with love. You know what I'm saying?
It's tough love.
It's tough love. Put my arm around, put my hand on their shoulder, and say some things to them in their ear.
Right.
To light that fire.
And a lot of people forget that you were recruited by who I think is going to go down as the greatest college football coach
ever,
of all time.
Ever.
And Nick Saban. And, you know, you've told the story about how he recruited you and, you know, and the relationship that you guys had. And, you know, we've been talking a lot. This is real fitting because this is a great segue into the topic that we've been discussing this week.
Yeah.
And that is the unfortunate death of offensive lineman at the University of Maryland, Jordan McNair, which has led to DJ Durkin, head coach for the Maryland football program, along with members of his staff, being placed on paid administrative leave. The family of Jordan McNair went on Good Morning America this week and have called for the job of DJ Durkin and do believe that there was a toxic culture. And you know, we've been debating back and forth here on Current Sports how some coaches cross the line. And there is a culture when it comes to some of these coaches having this old school mentality of course, you know, pushing their young athletes and their players to a limit so that they understand that they can overcome anything. But again, there's a fine line.
It's a fine line.
There
it's
is a fine line, right? You know. And you know, so there's one side of it, but there's the other side that says, okay, but you know, with some of these players, just like you said, James, you have to kind of light into them. You have to, you know, be in their ear and motivating them.
Yep.
But again, at the end of the day, there is a fine line.
Safety,
right?
And health. Safety first. You know, and first of all, let me say my prayers go out to the family. Okay. I watched Mr. and Ms. McNeil on SportsCenter
McNair.
Last night. And mother spoke a lot and the heartache. I feel for them. You know, their son is gone. And I really, really respected and felt when the dad said that coach sat in my living room and told me he was going to take care of my son. And he didn't. That hit hard. That hit hard. Because as a coach, and I remember when Nick Saban came in my house. I remember when George Perlis came in my house and the things they said to my parents. They did. Okay? And that's the sad thing. Their son is gone. Because protocol was not followed. And now you have to deal with the consequences. You know?
When something like this happens, James, what kind of lesson can be learned for other coaches out there, no matter what level, to take away?
It's something that...
So I don't think this is the norm, but some coaches do cross the line,
They do cross the line, and now this is just really awakening everyone. You know, because back in the day, you know, and I always go, you know me, I just turned 52. And
no, please bring that perspective. That's why we have you on the show.
Back in the day, you running, you going to sweat, and if you ain't doing it right good enough, you ain't getting no water till you get done.
Right. Water was a privilege,
okay.
Right? We were discussing this earlier. I mean,
you ain't getting no water till you earn it.
And that's completely
you sweat.
Wrong.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not agreeing with it.
Right.
Trust me, I'm not agreeing with it, all right? But...
At what level? This has been in high school?
This was in junior high. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, work for it.
And you're out there sweating in the summertime.
Sweating 2 days. But my point now is times have changed. And we really do have to look at it. I can go into the concussion protocol and all of that stuff. Everything has changed now. But, you know, when you get to the collegiate level, they really crossed the line, you know, and, you know, at the collegiate level, you got to answer to the NCAA, then you got to answer to your college board, and then you have to answer to all these parents that have trusted their kids in your hand. So you got to treat them like you would treat your own child.
And again, in any circumstance, unfortunate circumstance like this, you also got to you know, adhere to the law as well.
Of course,
right?
Of course, and that's the sad thing, you know. So, like I said, it's just a sad situation all the way across the board, especially being that we lost a young man, Jordan. Like I said, my prayers go out to the family, and you know, my prayers go out to the coach too, because he's got a lot to answer for. You know, his career is in jeopardy.
Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, as we usually have him on each and every Friday here on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM, it is the swap meet with Michigan State football, great and founder of Speaking With a Purpose, my man, 50 grand, James Moore. Should DJ Durkin lose his job?
You know, I when you ask that question, you know, it's a 50-50, you know. I believe so, because it starts at the top. And if, you know, as they say, crap rolls downhill. And you don't want to take you don't want to, you know, fire these trainers and the strength and conditioning coach like they did, okay, like they, you know, suspended them or whatever. It starts at the top. So it's tough to say. I don't want to say he should lose a job, but you know what? I don't have no choice but to say yes.
I agree with you.
You have a young man that's gone, that his parents will never see again, and you promised them when you came into this house and recruited him that you were going to take care of his son, their son.
Definitely. All right, James, before we get you out of here, as we have just under 10 minutes left here in the show, I want to talk about NFL preseason football. First off, have you watched any preseason games at all?
I've watched some.
I watched a little. I'm not one of those guys who are like, I love the NFL year. I love the NFL regular season, but preseason football, I mean, most of these guys that you see, especially come the second half, you will not see at all come the regular season. So I don't know why they just don't adopt the college model. But with that being said, I mean, the reason why they have, you know, part of the reason why they have these NFL preseason games are to dwindle down that roster to 53. We're talking about 90-plus men, young men who are trying to, you know, young
win a job.
I should say, trying to win a job. That process of trying to make it to the NFL is such a grind. And most of them aren't going to make that dream come true. I'm curious, how much do you talk to, you know, your young athletes that you coach who have that dream of playing professionally about maybe having a backup plan or about keeping things in perspective?
I have to bring up something that just happened to me. I was my cousin, he lives in Grand Rapids. His name is Walter Moore. His son plays at Yale, okay? He's going to be number 87, outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. Devin Moore. He's a beast. He's 6'5". He's 6'5", easily, and I may be pressing, easily 255.
He's got the Moore genes.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I mean, I look up to him, okay? I'll show you a picture when we leave, before I leave.
Yeah.
You know what, this kid, and I got chills. This kid, we were there. I was there a couple weekends ago in Grand Rapids, and a buddy of mine, Matt Boucher, was with me, and we went to my cousin's house, and he's in town. He headed back to camp now because they started. You know, they don't have no preseason. They don't have no bowl game. They got
they
six
go
games.
Right to it.
They go right to it, six, seven games, and then they're done before finals, so they don't miss their finals.
That's my kind of schedule.
Okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking to him about, dude, you know, Matt came up and said to him, dude, are you, you know, interested in going to the league? Because he's going to be a senior, you know, junior, senior. He's right around there. And you know what this kid said? And it made me feel so good. He said, no, I'm not interested. I'm going to be an attorney. He goes to Yale. And you know what he said?
Yep.
He said, I'm going to be an attorney. I have no interest in playing in the league. That right there sent chills in me. Because what we're talking about now, the backup plan. But that's his first plan.
That's his plan A.
That's his plan A.
Right.
Okay. My point of bringing that up is because this kid, my cousin, my boy, his mother and father, Walter and Kalita, they did a phenomenal job with their kids, period. Because his thing is about here, what he's got up between his ears. It's not about football. Football was just an avenue for him to get a free education at Yale.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Ivy League school.
Amazing. And so I share this story because, I mean, guess what? God put it this because I wasn't thinking about that until we just started talking. You know, that's what swap meet's about.
Right.
And so he said, I'm going to be an attorney. Back to answering your question. Got to have a backup plan. Because I don't know what the statistic is on how many athletes
actually go pro. It is
okay.
It's less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Man.
Okay. And, you know.
And I'm not trying to crush anybody's dream.
No, you can't.
I'm all big on, if you look at my social media, it's all about dreaming big and going after what you want. But what I think, especially especially in the black community, James, as we come up on the end of the show here with about 3 minutes left, I want to make this point. In the black community, and what it really hit me when I was watching a documentary called Last Chance U on Netflix. There was a young man on there on the recent season. It talked about how in the black community, all young black males see, people that look like them are athletes.
Athletes, that's it.
They're either playing basketball playing football. And what really stopped to me is he said, hey, look, if you take football away from me, I don't have anything.
I'm in the streets.
I'm back in the streets.
Back in the streets.
I don't know. I may be dead or in jail. It's a reality, a sad reality for young black men of color. And we need more examples in various fields to show our youth that there are other things you can pursue and be successful in. Simple as that. So,
hey, before we go, we got to look to the camera and give my baby. In
go
Miami.
Ahead, please. Any shout outs that you want to.
Sierra Moore, baby. Love you. See you soon.
I think we may start ending every swap meet like that, where James just looks at the camera and gives anybody that he wants a shout out, James Moore.
I had to do that though because I just went outside and she said, "Dad, I'm there." So I just want to let her know.
What's
I love
up,
her.
C? All right, James, thank you so much. Outstanding job. All right,
thank you for having me, Al.
All right, let's close things out with Reflection Friday, where we look at the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports and bring up some of our favorite stories of the week, guest of the week, or maybe a few stories that we have not gotten the chance to get to. Okay, we don't have the Reflection Friday music. We don't have a Friday. Things are just going so wrong, James. Live stream isn't working. It's all good. Well, I tell you what, we'll just do it cold then. My favorite moment of the week, other than this interview with James Moore, and I'm not just saying that because you're right in front of me, James. Outstanding job. Thank you so much for sharing those, as you usually do each and every Friday, those intimate details and just keeping it real. Thank you so much, James. For me, probably the Aretha Franklin tribute that we had yesterday. Imani Dudley, who is a dear friend of mine. I went to Michigan State University with her. She is was a background dancer for Aretha Franklin from 2011 to 2013. She joined us from the West Coast in Los Angeles, California, just hours after the news broke that Aretha Franklin, the great queen of soul that she is, passed away at 76 years old, sharing intimate moments with Aretha, being backstage and getting to know her while on the road, on the tour. That was absolutely fantastic. And much love and thanks to Imani Dudley for joining me on yesterday's Current Sports. Favorite moment of the week for me. Fellas, you guys got anything as we proceed here with just a minute left? Connor, are you looking forward to anything this weekend, or do you have a favorite moment of the week? Oh, Connor, do we got
him? Okay. Yep, I'm here. I'd say favorite moment of the week was probably our discussion about the coaching culture in football. Probably the first day that the Durkin story kind of blew up to where it was.
Right.
Just kind of breaking that down. I guess that was probably my favorite good discussion to have on air.
Definitely. Alec, real quick, anything?
I'd have to say just like the NFL preseason coverage, because I'm just excited for football to be here, to
You're
be
just
honest.
Glad to
I'm
see.
Just, I just cannot
yeah,
wait
you
for
James
that.
You James in the background. You're just excited to see guys just hitting each other on your television screen, right?
Yep.
All right.
I cannot wait for that.
Well, on Monday, folks, we'll talk about what happens tonight as the Detroit Lions preseason game number 2 as they play host to the New York Giants. Until then, have a great weekend. And as always, be easy, people.